Psalm 63, verse 1. O God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My body longs for you. In a dry and weary land where there is no water.
So I think writing about John 4 and the woman at the well, and I say Jesus uses figurative language. It's poetic language to reveal a spiritual truth that remains the same in all places and at all times. We need to satisfy the thirst of the heart with the living water of the Spirit that is freely offered by God to all who will ask to drink it. And I go back, not in my writing, but I just want to go back because I memorized these lines a long time ago. Oh God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My body longs for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water. And, you know, think of the desert. Think of Death Valley and being there and having no water. And I have stories about, you know, being thirsty because I couldn't get my hands on water. We so much need it physically. We need it even more spiritually.
Mm-hmm. As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul longs for you. And I love that you've pointed out this, the woman at the well, you know, or Lord, give me that water to drink, you know, the living water, the water that truly satisfies. She was living a life that she was trying a bunch of things to satisfy, but they weren't working. And we're all like that deer. We're all like the deer panting through the desert, or the hiker in your case, needing that water. But something even more important than water for our bodies is God's Spirit for our souls. I feel sorry for people who are still living like that panting deer. You know, it's sad to me when I watch people who haven't tasted the living water of Jesus Christ searching after the next adventure or the next success or the next achievement or the next pleasure or the next whatever. And each time, you know, feeling depressed afterward. And I literally feel sorry. I want them to know Christ so that they can just rest in him.
Yeah, it's our whole culture has been built around super events. So there's the World Series, there's the Super Bowl. I always find them to kind of fit into this paradigm here of making me more thirsty, and it's because they're essentially irrelevant. I know they make a lot of money, so I don't want to say irrelevant totally. They're not, and a lot of people, you know, benefit from it. A lot of people get entertained by it, but there's such a buildup, and this is the problem with our television culture. Television's about building up for an event that's going to disappoint you every time. It's like being told a movie's great. I'm thinking of one in particular. You go to it and you say, what was that about? You're not in terms of its meaning, but why did they make this thing?
Yeah.
And, you know, it's our culture. So your job as the leader of a strong church is to basically provide the water. I mean, it's the Holy Spirit. It's God providing the water, but it flows through your preaching, through the programs of the church, through the inner relationships, the coffee hours, and all of the other things that allow people to maybe share the water somewhat. Because if we're left to our own devices, it's just our own thirst that's troubling us. But we're meant to help others. We're meant to feed, and we're meant to, you know, provide drink.
You know, you kind of corrected yourself there a minute. You said my job is to provide the water, and then you said no, it's to, you know, share the water. And I just really think that that's an important correction. Like, you know, the pastor doesn't provide the water. Obviously, Jesus does. Our job, and yours too, Eric, as a parishioner, as a leader in the church, is just to point people to where the water source is. You know, that famous quote. Evangelism is just one beggar telling another beggar where to find some bread, you know, or where to find some water, as it were.
Absolutely.